New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
We are
one
live.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to West by Pod, a podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and Space U. I'm Joel Bracken at WV Stats Guy. He is Jordan Pinto at Game Day Shorts. We are chugging along through our deep dive summer series. We are to the second to last team. Well, not counting the Mountaineers, because we will do a little piece on the Mountaineers as well. We are to UCF, the darling newcomer, I guess you might say, from last year. They rose to the top of the newbies. I know Jordan is a fan of UCF. How are you feeling about UCF? What's your quick overview?
Yeah, man. You know, I don't think it went quite the way they expected last year. You know, what they started 3-0 and then they lose their first five games in conference. So just a little introduction to Big 12 play. You know, I think we talked on the Baylor pod, that game was a fluke. So, you know, take that for what it is. And then they actually could have easily beaten Oklahoma. So, I think it was close to being a lot better than it was. They did some really good things on offense. They're fun. They're a fun team offensively, obviously Gus Malzahn, but struggled with some of the stuff that I think you would expect a G5 moving up to P5 or now P4, some of the things you'd expect those teams to struggle with, lack of depth maybe generally, and then a little light in both trenches. But yeah, arrows definitely trending up. You mentioned it. They're the darling. I think a lot of people see them as a dark horse in the conference. They get a lot of really good press, and I mean the recruiting has been at or near the top of the conference of the teams that are remaining outside Oklahoma and Texas. So yeah, you know, this is a team that we're going to be, if we're going to be in the mix late in the season, they're a team we're probably going to be seeing and thinking about a lot. So,
yep. And playing them second to last, like this could actually be a pretty meaningful game in the conference. Yep. One or both of these teams might still be in the picture by that time. I don't know. You have any other additional topics, or should we just get straight into UCF?
No, I think I'm good. Yeah, nothing really crazy out of camp.
All right.
Since we last recorded, so.
Sounds good. All right. So UCF, like you mentioned, last year they were 6-7. I think all in all, when you look at the season, I think you say it was a successful year. Didn't go exactly how they wanted, especially to start conference play. But yeah, I mean, the way you sort of roll out of the season, I think you feel good. You got your footing under you. You won three of your last four games in the regular season, including just the craziest game, the 45-3 stomping of Oklahoma State. Definitely probably kind of signature win for them and a good feeling to carry on. Vibes around the program, I think, high. I mean, they took the step. And for all the reasons you mentioned, recruiting, they're getting talent in there. They're in a great place to continue to get talent. The stock, you know, the brand is rising. They survived this first year. I think they definitively came out as the best of the newbies. And yeah, things are chugging along to plan. They're picked around the middle of the conference this year. They're picked 8th out of 16. They're right under us. They're going to be in the mix. And, you know, as we talk through some of these players, I mean, they have an exciting of a roster as pretty much any team in this conference, I think. They got a lot of guys who have done some stuff, and they got bright blue boxes on PFF of 90 grades, and, you know, they got some players. Returning production, they're 63rd. They were 17th in beta rank offense last year. They were 50th in defense. Their head coach is Gus Malzahn. He's been to the national championship. I mean, he has been in the big show. I think he runs a good program. I think he is a veteran of this game. And, I don't know. I just think you take a school like this with potential and you have a coach like him who knows what it takes, and it's kind of a dangerous combo. So coordinators, Tim Harris Jr. is your OC. This is his first year. At UCF, he came over from Miami. I have a quote from his page. Under Harris's guidance, Miami averaged 176 rushing yards per game, highlighted by 323 rushing yards in a win against Temple. So flexing Miami of Florida, beating up on Temple. This guy, you better watch out for Tim Harris Jr. They had more than double their average in just one game. So kind of. I know how numbers work. That pulls the average up quite a bit. So they beat down Temple, and you better watch Tim Harris Jr. in his first year at UCF. Your DC, Ted Roof, this is his first year at UCF. He was the Oklahoma DC for the last 2 years. All right. Anything on the coaches? Do you like Gus Malzahn?
Who, Arthur Gustavo Malzahn?
Gustavo. Is that his real name?
Yeah, I just learned that in doing my homework for this. Which I really enjoyed. You know, because I would say I like his offenses. That's obviously something he's hung his hat on. Really enjoyed watching the Auburn teams back in the day with Cam Newton. And I'm not really close enough to him to know or be aware of any things that have pissed me off to this point. So, just, you know, from afar. Yeah. I mean, dig, Gus. I think the one point I would say with the Tim Harris, so he was at Miami last year, but he was at UCF previously with Malzahn. He was on the staff in 21 and 22 when they were really good. Obviously their last two years in G5. So, you know, kind of not an internal hire, but kind of an internal hire. I think there'll be a lot of familiarity there. I'm sure Tim knows how Gus likes to run the show. So not any of the, maybe the growing pains or the transitional stuff that maybe you would expect from a new offensive coordinator hire. So I like the hire. And then like the Ted Roof hire as well, man. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that they struggled with last year, generating turnovers, explosive plays, generating negative plays generally, just the havoc, you know, that's something that Oklahoma was really good at the last couple of years with Roof at the helm. So I think on paper, both of the hires make a lot of sense. From a coaching perspective, I think that would be my take. Do you want to get into the dudes?
Let's get into the dudes. They got some dudes. Let's get into them. I'm going to let you take the lead on the quarterback. I'd just say John Rhys Plumlee. We talked about him a bit on the show last year, the Garrett Green comparison, you know, all those things. He was great. He rounded up great in PFF, but he's out. New guy is KJ Jefferson. I'm very interested to hear what you think of this guy, because I kind of like this guy.
What's not to like? Yeah, man, Rhys Plumlee, I think, ended up being like, when we were talking about the Garrett Green comp, we were like, maybe, you know, hopefully the best version of Garrett can be this. But then it turned out that Garrett was him without like the wild card bullshit. You know, I think that would be the knock on Plumlee last year, is just he was a fucking wild card. Charlie Kelly jumping out of the back of a van full of gasoline. Yeah, KJ Jefferson, man. You know, I think it's been widely talked about, right? This should be a fantastic fit for what Gus wants to do, what he wants his quarterbacks to do. If you read Arkansas message boards, which I actually did go do, you know, this guy has carried their team for 3 years. Like, yeah. They love the guy. They think he's fantastic. My first note, big fucker. Love the big fucker note for quarterbacks. 6'3", 250. So, I mean, you know, even bigger. What was the guy that we were talking to? Sorsby, the Indiana transfer at Cincinnati. This dude has 15 pounds on him. He's a big fucking guy. And three-year starter at Arkansas, 65% career passer. He's been good at pushing it down the field. He's been over 4% big-time throws every single year. Takes pretty good care of the ball. I think he was around 2% turnover-worthy plays in 21 and 22. 3.9 last year, but kind of on a shitty Arkansas team, so I don't know if I'll knock him. You know, I feel like that might have been a trying-to-do-too-much kind of a thing because he had to. But, you know, I think where the fit really is this dude has elite production as a runner. 700 yards last year on almost 6 a carry, 35 first downs, 22 explosives, 4.7 yards after contact. Which, ooh,
for a quarterback,
is elite for a fucking running back, man. I mean, if you watch some of his highlights, there are times where a blitzer will get a free run at this guy and he won't see them, and they'll hit him and he'll just like, they'll bounce off.
I have the exact same thing. I have a specific highlight. It was like, yeah. Western Carolina, this
Western
linebacker.
Carolina.
He comes on the delayed blitz and he has a free hit and he just bounces off of me.
Just bounces, dude. It was like ridiculous. Like, my jaw dropped when I saw that play. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, 33 missed tackles. I mean, this dude is a fantastic runner. Great athlete, strong arm, you know, everything you would want. I know the comment's been out there, closest thing to Cam Newton since Cam Newton that Gus has had. I think that probably is not is it hyperbole or hyperbole? I can't remember which one is the grammar and which one is the math one. But yeah, I mean, an insane pull out of the portal for them, you know, just in terms of skill set, in terms of fit with the scheme, all that stuff. I think the only red flag, he had 13 fumbles last year, which seems like way too many.
Yeah.
But overall, I would think this is an upgrade over Plumlee in all regards. And yeah, I think just a very good fit, a very, very good fit in terms of what they're going to be trying to do. So,
yeah, well, no, I think you nailed it. Yeah, go watch some highlights of him if you haven't seen him. He's just a huge dude throwing the ball.
Big fucking guy, man.
Absorbing contact, like big contact. He just absorbs it. He's a newcomer of the year in the conference. The media voted him newcomer of the year. He's been consistently good. His last 3 years in PFF, 88, 88. Last year, 78. So actually a little bit of a dip, but still, that's a solid production in the SEC of all places. Over 600 yards in his last three seasons each on the ground. So, yeah, he can run the ball. Seems going to be a problem. I'm excited, like, as a fan of football, I'm excited to watch him play. He's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, he is a problem. Yeah, I mean, you talk about the drop-off last year. I just looked up. Arkansas was 4-8 last year, right? So, like, a shitty team. So you'd expect everybody probably was graded out a little bit worse. But, yeah, man, he's... Yeah, he is the epitome of a guy who we have him, we don't have him. Shit, there goes a first down out the back end.
Yep.
Either with the arm through the air or on the ground. So, yeah, great pull. Really good pull for them.
Yeah.
I was actually I was looking in the portal, quarterback transfer portal rankings. They had like 25 or 26 guys ahead of this guy, and I was just like, you know, and a lot of it is dudes who like haven't played.
Yeah.
Who were like highly rated recruits and stuff like that, where it's just like, dude, you know, I feel like we get a little bit out of whack. Like, this guy is a proven high level performer in the fucking SEC, and not even on like a good SEC team, on like a pretty mid tier SEC team. Maybe the mid tier SEC team, Arkansas. Right. So Yeah, very good pull. Very good pull.
Yeah, huge pull.
Problem. Problem is the right word.
So yeah, I mean that's going to be your staple of the offense is your quarterback. Moving to the running back room, I mean, damn, yeah. this is I think this is pretty solid as well. You get RJ Harvey, so he was an 88.4 last year, PFF grade, and as I sort by attempts, he had over 1,300 yards. He had 16 touchdowns, averaged over 6 a carry. Your other running back, you have Johnny Richardson. He was nice back last year, 76 PFF grade. But they also dipped in the portal for running backs as well. Penny Boone, 89 grade last year at Toledo. Similar to Harvey, he was also over 1,300 yards, and he was one touchdown shy of him. He had 15 touchdowns on the ground. Yeah, this is a really good running back room.
Yeah, I mean, in the conversation for best backfield in the conference, I think, right? Like, one of, if not the, you know, obviously I would maybe put ours right there or above, just, you know, no bias at all there. But, yeah, and I think the really, like, Harvey is a little bit smaller of a guy. Penny Boone, 6'1", 240. So they got the same kind of thunder and lightning thing going that we have. Excellent complementary pieces. Yeah, I mean, just look at it. Like, Harvey, 64 missed tackles forced, 40 explosive carries, so 10+. Penny Boone, 50 missed tackles forced, 40 explosive carries. 4.3 yards after contact for Penny Boone. So, yeah, it doesn't matter which one of these guys is on the field. Like, you're in for a fucking handful, tackling either one of them. Yeah, just really, really good backfield. And then when you add the KJ Jefferson piece, I mean, they're going to give people all the same problems that we do. Maybe slightly different because Jefferson is a little bit more of a power. Green's obviously a little bit of a more of a finesse runner, a little bit faster. But just in terms of really stressing a defense, I mean, imagine they put all three of these guys out there together. Like, what do you even like? How do you even start? Where do you start? So,
yeah,
backfield's a problem, man. Backfield is a problem. Backfield as a whole is a fucking problem.
I'm doing some quick maths over here, and if you add up Harvey, you add up the transfer Boone, you add up Richardson, and then you throw in the quarterback transfer now, KJ Jefferson, you add all four of those rushing yards together, that's like 3,700 rushing yards last year for those four guys.
And what, probably close to 40 touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean, insane production. I mean, just you have 31 touchdowns between Harvey and Boone last year. Problem backfield. I mean, yeah, this is an insane backfield in the running game. So let's move to pass catchers now.
Yeah, might as well. Just put that in the rear view.
Yeah. God. What else they got? Well, they got an all Big 12 guy at receiver, Kobe Hudson. He's returning, 71 targets last year. He averaged 20.6 yards a catch.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. You know, I'm seeing a theme here of, you know, pound the rock, and then you have the deep threat, Kobe Hudson. He was a 69.1 grade last year. What else we have here? Xavier Townsend, he also returns a 70 grade. You lose Javon Baker. He had the same amount of targets last year as Hudson at 71. Any guys here you want to highlight?
2 yards more per catch, though. I think he averaged like 22 a catch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Any guys you want to single out here?
You lose Alec Holler, tight end. Him and Baker are both in the NFL. So, you know, you lose two good pieces. But, yeah, like you said, Hudson's back. My note with him is, can he be the man? Obviously, they had kind of like a three-headed, passing attack last year between him and Baker and Holler. But Townsend was good as well. I mean, 46 targets, 31 catches, 3 touchdowns. He's a little bit more of an underneath guy, 10.2 yards per reception. I really like Randy Pittman. I don't know if you I'm sure you don't, because you're not a degenerate like me who follows recruiting for other teams, but Pittman was like down to UCF in Florida in his last two. Really good tight end coming out of high school. chose UCF, played a lot as a true freshman last year and graded out really well. So expect him to kind of step into that Holler role. Like, I think I don't expect any sort of real drop off in production there. Maybe if anything, even better, because I think, you know, Pittman has the pedigree to be a very, very good player. And then kind of an X factor, Aggie Hall, who started at Alabama, transferred to Texas, and it never really worked out at either spot, walked on at UCF this summer. And so, you know, I'm really curious, like this dude was an all-world player coming out of high school. So very curious to see if, you know, this is the spot where he finally sticks, like how they involve him, or if he's just a complete lost cause, which would be a shame because, I mean, the talent is clearly there. You know, I think overall, depth concerns maybe behind the dudes we've mentioned. But if they stay healthy, I think they're all going to be really productive. I mean, they've already been productive. So no reason to think they wouldn't continue to do so.
Yeah, I think this is a solid room. And when you know, we've talked about it with college football in general. It's like when you're really good at one thing, that can take you a long way. Yeah. The backfield they have, the receiving group doesn't have to carry this offense. They just have to be able to take advantage of mismatches, additional guys in the box, you know, the play action, the, you know, all of these sort of things. They just have to be able to step up when it's their time. I think this is a good group. I think they're going to be fine. And I also, like, you were mentioning, I didn't want to interrupt you because you were on a roll, but you were talking about the tight end stepping into the Holler role. You were talking about Alec Holler, but I don't know why when you said the Holler role, I was like, is that a position they have? That's what we should name our. That's what we should name our guy. We get rid of the star or bandit or jack. What we need a Holler position.
Maybe that's like that's the H-back, like, right? Holler, H. That's like the H-back on offense. That's like your X-factor dude who's in the backfield sometimes, in the slot sometimes, inline tight end, all that stuff. But yeah, Randy Pittman is the Holler.
Screw to traditional positions. Like West Virginia, we're going to roll out a pepperoni roll. We're going to roll out a Holler. We're going to roll out a moonshine. We're going to roll, you know? This is Wood. Oh, he's lining up at Woodburn over there. Like, just... Yeah.
None of it matters anyways, right?
Fuck it. I think the All-American team came out, and there's just a position on the All-American team today. It's just labeled all-purpose. Yeah. And it's like Hunter, you know, from Colorado. It's just like... And same in basketball, you know, you get more positionless.
Honestly, could be a cheeky little recruiting angle, right? Like, you're going to come play our Tavon position, right?
I love it.
Like, we just have a position called Tavon, and then that's how we're going to recruit guys.
And then schools start selling to their donors. It's like Jim Justice, like, oh, like he plays the Justice, you know, we just
not the middle linebacker, the Justice,
the right? Justice. Like, he instills justice. All right. We're really off track, but it's a good bit.
It's okay.
Okay, so offensive line, you know, can they hold up and make this thing go? Because it seems like they got a pretty good shot with all the skill position guys. Last year, the offensive line was second in pass block in the conference. They were seventh in run block. The line, looking at projected starters at least, is looking like it's all guys from the team last year, so no real transfers coming in, at least to start immediately. So you're getting a couple guys, you know, upgraded to starting positions, but no major shakeups. Anything here that you want to point out?
No. I think you hit it. I mean, three of five starters back, and the two new ones were both there last year. Transfer dependent in the rotation. I think if you look at the two deep on our lads, four of the five guys who were listed as second on the depth chart weren't there last year. So be interesting to see. You know, I think we talk a lot like we like eight, we like nine, you know, however many, right? Because you're never going to be playing the same five guys for every game, every snap all season. So curious to see how that kind of comes together. But really experienced bunch. I think four of the five starters are redshirt seniors. It was a good offensive line last year. I expect them to be good again.
Yeah,
certainly good enough with the problems that they're gonna problems TM that they're gonna pose to teams. So
is this offense a top three offense for you in conference? You think?
Yeah, I mean, my note is man, there's a lot of fucking weapons out there, and if the offense is good or the offensive line is good, then I don't see how it's not one of the best in the conference.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So that leads us to the question: will the defense do enough? Will the defense, you know, there's sometimes you see teams have such incredible offense and the defense is so bad they're not even good at all. See Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech, for an example. You know, sometimes you have such an imbalance, it really doesn't make your team any good even when you have such an incredible offense. The defense, well, just in general, broad strokes here, the first thing that popped out to me on the defense is you have 6 starters who are transfers. So half of your guys here on defense, more than half, are fresh faces coming in. This defense last year was 50th in beta rank defense. You definitely want to improve that a little bit if you expect to be competitive for, you know, trying to get to the conference championship game. Start with a D-line. Lee Hunter is a All Big 12 player who returns. You also have we have Malachi Lawrence and Ricky Barber, all three on the team last year, and all really solid. I think the grades here are pretty good. I think your big loss on the D line is Morris Brash from last year, Tramon Morris Brash. But what do you think about the D line here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, especially inside, Lee Hunter and then Ricky Barber, both really good last year. You mentioned Hunter's first team all conference, dude. He had 22 pressures last year as a nose tackle, right? Yeah. Which is not what you're being asked to do. You know, so really good. I think that was the second most of any returning interior defensive lineman in the Big 12. Yeah, you mentioned Lawrence is back. I think they lose 3 of the 4 from the defensive end rotation. But yeah, Lawrence was good. He had 24 pressures as a rotational piece last year. So that you know, that's pretty fucking solid. You know, I guess depth is unproven, you know, especially at defensive end. But the interior guys are so good that it might be kind of a non-issue. I don't know. I think the defensive line is going to be good.
Yeah. You have a transfer brought in here. Nigelie Kelly, coming in from Miami. He wasn't much of a factor there. But yeah, I think you got 3 solid dudes returning. I think it's probably going to be a pretty solid defensive line. So moving to the backers here, they run a 4-2-5. Ethan Barr and Josiah Peer, are your projected starters. These are both transfers. Barr is coming from Vanderbilt. He was a sub 60 PFF grade in all of the last 4 years. Pierre was a sub 63 grade in his last 3 years at Texas Tech. So maybe a soft portion of the defense here. Anybody else in the too deep we should know about?
I think it's just worth noting. I mean, it was an issue last year. 5 of the 6 on the too deep this year are transfers. Yeah, I think Pierre, you know, I think we talked about on the Baylor pod, the free safety, right? Like, we like seeing guys who go from like a 64 to like a 68 to like a 74. Pierre's done the opposite. He was a 62 in 2021, 60.9 in 2022, and then a 45.7 last year at Texas Tech. So, you know, not maybe a splashy one. Barr was just consistently replacement level his entire career at Vanderbilt. So, I don't know. Nothing great there. But I think when you're looking at the rotation, some of these transfers, they're guys that I would be excited about if they, you know, if they were dudes that we had brought in. Daylon Dotson, backup for Kelly at their Buck, which I assume is our spur. You know, again, position names have no meaning. But had a really good career at UT Martin, kind of a pass rush specialist, had 88 pressures the last 2 years. So very productive guy at a lower level. Then you look X-ray Alexander from Idaho, off ball linebacker. He's a bit on the lighter side. I think he's only listed at 215. Excellent last year at Idaho, had an 84.1 defensive grade, 90.4 coverage grade. So, you know, I think if either of those two starters, don't perform at the level that they would expect. You know, I do think they have some nice pieces that they could throw out there and maybe see if they can find the right formula. The linebackers were just so bad last year. I don't know. None of these guys have, you know, Nigelie Kelly, none of the starters, I guess I should say, Kelly, Pierre, and Barr, none of them really have a history of being a high performer, like ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even like they have one good year sprinkled in with a couple of bad years. So I don't know. It could be an issue again, maybe slightly improved, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, a strength on the defense at all.
Yeah. Okay. Moving to the DBs. So of your DBs here, I have like three transfers, once again, starting. So kind of a transfer heavy, defensive unit. Traquan Fagus, he's coming from USC. He's very limited in his time there. Deshaun Pace, I think, was a really good pickup from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the star position. And then Sheldon Arnold, he was a 90.5 grade last year coming from East Tennessee State. So very high grade coming from that lower level. It's just so hard to know if that translates or not. like the FCS to FBS. It's a way bigger jump than, you know, going from G5 to Power Conference, I think. And then your two returners to the secondary, Henderson and Adams, both solid last year. They had over 70 PFF grades. I don't know. Are you worried about the secondary? You think, looking at the two deep, a lot of transfers as well in there. What are you thinking about it?
Yeah, 7 of the 10 on the two deeper transfers. But no, actually, I think the secondary should be okay, man. You mentioned Pace. They also got Byron Threats from Cincinnati to kind of fill out the rotation a little bit. Fagans, the cornerback reserve at USC, but was a high 4-star, so you assume the pedigree might be there. Ladarius Tennyson, Ole Miss, Antoine Jackson, East Carolina, kind of fill the rotation, both former 4-star guys. So, you know, I think they went out and got guys with pedigree. You know, actually, you mentioned the dude, Sheldon Arnold, East Tennessee State. The thing that stood out to me, he had 4 defensive touchdowns last year.
Wow.
And had 1 the year before. So, like, this is a guy who, you know, made fucking plays, you know, albeit at a lower level. But no, I think I expect the secondary. I don't know if they're going to be one of the best in the Big 12, but I don't expect them to be a liability at all. I think they're going to be good.
So we look across like this whole team. I mean, maybe the linebackers are a weakness, but like, I don't know. I think this is a pretty solid team. I think this is a legit team. They're picked in the middle of the conference, and I don't know. I could see upside. I could see more upside than downside, I think.
Yeah, I like this roster better than a lot of the teams that we have already kind of reviewed who were picked above them. You know, I think I like it better than Arizona. I think I like it better than Iowa State. You know, I don't want to say I like it better than Kansas State, but, you know, I feel like that's more their ballpark. Although, again, to be clear, if you didn't listen to the Kansas State pod, I don't think that I liked Kansas State's roster as much as, you know, I don't think that they're like a clear cut favorite to win the conference. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I think they're right up there with, you know, any of the, I think that's the beautiful thing about the Big 12 this year, right? Is that there are probably 7-8 teams who could realistically, if things come together, if shit falls the right way, can make a real run at being in the conference championship game. This team is this roster firmly planted in that group, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think they're more of a problem than they're getting credit for, and that's what we're just going to call them all year, the problem. Because, yeah, I think they pose some problems for teams here.
They do, no doubt. They do specific things well, right? Like, you always harp on that. Like, can you do specific things really well? This team absolutely can. Can they cover up or hide the things that maybe they don't do well? They've certainly taken the steps, right? Like, the defense was kind of suspect last year. Linebacker specifically, secondary a little bit, full overhaul, right? So, you know, I guess we'll see as far as that goes. But yeah, they do enough things well to be a problem.
Yeah. All right, let's hit the climb index, starting with cohesion. I gave them a 2.5. You know, they're pretty much dead in the middle of the country in returning production. I don't think, you know, some units are more thin than others compared to last year. The defense is a lot of new faces. You know, you got your running back room pretty similar. Your offensive line is going to be pretty similar. So I kind of just stuck them in the middle, 2.5.
Yeah, I said 3 right in the middle as well. I think they bring back lots of really good players on both sides of the ball. You know, we highlighted the defensive linemen, the running backs, obviously the offensive line. And, you know, I guess, you know, getting into the, I gave them a 3 out of 5, getting into the losses, which I also gave a 3 out of 5. I'm not sure any of the guys that they lost are people like, who the fuck did they lose that, like, we know the person's name, you know, besides Holler and Javon Baker.
You know? I mean, Plumlee, not like a true loss. He graduated, but yeah, I mean, you lose a quarterback who's really good for them for a while, but you get, I don't know. I think the loss is mitigated in terms of like, yeah, you don't feel like you have this hole, without him.
Definitely didn't lose anything they couldn't afford to lose on D. You know, I think the strengths last year were those defensive linemen. They're all back. So,
yeah. No, I think you said, I went losses 3.5. Infusion, so who they got in the portal, I went with a 4. I mean, I think they did a great job. Just, I mean, you look at the quarterback and running back positions, you went out and got, like, legit high upside guys. You know, we talked about some of the people on the defense. You're filling a lot of holes. The defense wasn't great, and I don't hate that you went out and got a slew of guys, and some of them are going to plug in and play, and some of them might not work out. But you weren't cautious in the portal. I mean, yeah, if you want to count up the 2 deep, it's 12 guys on the 2 deep on defense are transfers. And I mean, man, even if you look at the offense, like, a lot of the 2 deep coming in as transfers, you got a lot of guys infused into this team, and we'll see which ones of them shake out. But they did their work.
I actually gave him a 5, man. I love KJ Jefferson, love Penny Boone. Those are two really, really good pools just in terms of skill set, fit, all that kind of stuff. Like the defensive stuff. You know, the Eastern Tennessee dude who we were talking about, I think that's like a great pool. Taking flyers on, you know, there are 5 or 6, you know, we're talking about all these transfers. What did you say? 12 on the 2 deep. 5 or 6 of them were like high 4 stars coming out of high school. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going out and you're replacing dudes who are not good with people who have pedigree, who maybe it didn't work out, or maybe they weren't given the opportunity at their previous stop. But, you know, I think I said it for Baylor. You can see what they're going for, right? It seems like every move kind of had an intention behind it. I guess the hit rate defensively will, you know, TBD. But like a guy like Deshaun Pace was really good last year at Cincinnati on a bad defense. The Eastern Tennessee guy, excellent player at a lower level. So, you know, I think the holes that they had, they went out and got guys with pedigree or with proven production. You know, we mentioned the Eastern Tennessee guy. I mentioned the Dalen Dotson, UT Martin, right? So everybody is either somebody who was like really good coming out of high school and it didn't quite work out right away, or very high level performer at a lower level. So yeah, I gave him a 5.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of what you can get out of the portal, yeah, maybe I should also go up, because I don't know that you can do much more than they did.
Yeah. What could they realistically, you know, it's not like it's Ohio State or Alabama where you know, you're pulling Caleb Downs out of the portal or something like that. Right. So yeah, I mean, for UCF, for what they are currently, I thought they did really, really well with what they brought in.
The menu, the schedule this year, dude, I gave them a 4.5. I think this is a schedule that's going to work for them. I mean, you see, your first two out of conference are New Hampshire and Sam Houston, off to a 2-0 start. You get TCU, Colorado, then you have the out of conference Florida. Then you go Cincinnati, Iowa State, BYU. All of a sudden, you're 8 games into the season, and, like, I mean, Florida's tough. I don't know. I mean, like, I think they can win a lot of those games. Your final 4, Arizona State at West Virginia, and then Utah to close out. I think excluding Arizona State, the other three games there going to be tougher, but I mean, in this conference, I feel like that's about as good of a schedule you can get.
Yeah, I gave them a four. They missed Kansas State and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, obvious revenge factor game there where, that game was, it was over inside of 5 minutes. It was just being played in a hurricane, and like you could clearly tell everything bad that was going to happen to Oklahoma State in that game. So they dodged that coming back to bite them, the rubber band effect there. Yeah, I mean, they're probably 4-0 heading to Florida. They have to go play in the swamp. Florida, who knows how good they're going to be this year. I think they pretty famously have, like, by far the hardest schedule in the country this year. So their record might be shitty. I don't know. I know Billy Napier's on the hot seat, so we'll see what's going on there. But, yeah, Cincinnati, not hard. Iowa State, very manageable. BYU, very manageable. Arizona, I think UCF is just an awful matchup for Arizona. You know, when we were highlighting Arizona, like the issue with that team is, in my opinion, the front six on the defense. UCF is going to run the ball down their fucking throat.
Yeah.
This is the sixth best rushing attack in the country last year, according to BetaRank. So, and they got better.
They got better.
They got better on paper. Then Arizona State. Arizona State's a mess. Yeah. At us and Utah. I mean, two very potentially very, very meaningful games to close their season, right?
Tell me,
this team could be sitting 8-1, 9-1 coming to Morgantown.
That's what I'm saying. The last two games are West Virginia, Utah. Could they have 8 wins coming into those? I mean, I think they could. And it's, I'm not saying they're the best team in the conference, but man, it lines up and I can see the path for this team.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done this for most of the teams, but like, what's the over under? Because I'm inclined to hit a little over on this team. I'll look that up while I ask you, did you have a good benefactor for them?
Yeah, look it up. This is one of the few where I've gotten kind of local. I was Mickey Mouse or like Epcot. I don't know. Epcot's supposed to be like a celebration of cultures from all around the world, right? Just like UCF is celebrating programs from all around the country with all these fucking transfer portal merchants, UCF, celebrating programs all around the country. I don't know. Not too creative. Pretty topical. I think most of the time when we make fun of UCF, it's Disney Community College or, you know, something to that effect. So fit right in with that.
Yeah. The number's 7.5 for UCF. We're both gesturing upwards, so I might have to check the FanDuel app at the conclusion of this recording. Before the line changes, I might have. When you hear this, the whales, Jordan and I might have moved the line, but I'm seeing 7.5 at this moment. So,
I don't know if our audience is that big, but
yeah. My benefactor was SpaceX. They are explosive, flashy. They're the new kids on the block, and they want to be taken serious and be a major player. So excellent. And space themed.
Excellent. Yeah, really good.
All right. So I think that wraps it up for UCF. I think a potential dangerous team. I think this could be a really solid team. So make sure you are getting at us on smokingmusket.com. Also join the Smoking Musket Discord. Watch all the Big 12 games, all the stuff with the first couple weekends of football. It is an awesome time. You can get us on Twitter. We're at WestByPod with underscores in between. And otherwise, we got one more deep dive, and then we got a little West Virginia deep dive, and then we got a Penn State preview, because that's how close we are to doing this thing. So pretty exciting stuff. Jordan and I both have to go place a legal wager on UCF. That's all we got. Thank you as always for listening. We will catch you guys next time.
I just did. I just put a little 20 spot on him. But yeah, take care, gang. 1, 2, 3, 4.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.